Hello and welcome to Spiraling Upwards, where we are in pursuit of real holiness of life as a daily response to grace in the companionship of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the love of God the Father. I am Father Robert Healy, and I'm delighted to welcome you to episode 22. Today we will be talking about getting out from between the rock and the hard place, and specifically with understanding God's will, and how our wills are in relation to God's will, how our freedom is in relation to God's will. This is something that I myself had to wrestle with quite a bit in discerning my priestly vocation. There is one perspective on the cooperation of the will with the will of God that says, basically, what I'm supposed to do is do everything that I want to do. I'm just supposed to do whatever I want to do. And God's going to come along and rubber stamp all my decisions or veto them. So I know I'm doing God's will if everything goes smoothly. And I'm not doing God's will if he's thwarting what I'm trying to do. Now, I'm not sure that anybody would actually state that. Maybe there are some people who would state that this is actually what they believe. But I don't think there are many people who would do that. But I would say there are plenty of people who live like, in fact, I think we all, in some sense, and at one time or another, live like this. We say, "Dear Lord, I really hope that your will is what I want. And I'm barreling along as fast as I can and as determined as I can toward what I want, hoping that you're just going to smooth the way for me." What this is to say that God's will for us is simply whatever we want to do, as long as it doesn't hurt us. And so he knows, well, that's not going to be good for you, so he blocks it. Or that it's just something contrary to his desires, then he's going to block it. But this kind of idea would be like, I'm going to get on the train, and if God doesn't want me on the train, he's got to throw me off of the train. And yet, what would seem to be the alternative? The alternative would seem to be sitting on the fence, not able to get off the fence because, well, I'm not really sure what God's will for me is. And so I can't make any decisions at all. I can't choose anything. I can't go any particular direction because I'm afraid that I'm going to be displeasing God. Kind of an idea that God has this great big plan for me that he won't tell me, and I'm desperately afraid of doing the wrong thing, and so I don't do anything. Or I only do that which I feel is the thing that I don't want to do. Or the thing that I feel is making me miserable. So on the one hand, I'm seeing that I'm supposed to just do whatever I like and God's going to rubber stamp every decision of mine. Or if he vetoes it, makes it kind of clear that he didn't want me to do that. And then the other side is the position that says, well, I'm never really going to know God's will. I'm just going to try really hard to know his will. And I'm going to do that by way of kind of rejecting my own will. If I want to do it, it's probably bad. It's probably just my selfishness. And so this is to say, I think living the spiritual life is supposed to be making me miserable. If I'm not miserable because of the way I'm living, I must not be doing God's will. That God says, just do it. And I say, do I have to? And he says, yes. And I might even ask myself in such a circumstance, can I do otherwise? Can I even do something of my own free will? Or is God's will just so absolute that it's going to drive me where he wants me to go? In fact, a lot of the theologies and philosophies of the relationship between our human freedom and God's will, when they came through the period of the Protestant Reformation, because of the fact that Protestant doctrine, Luther's doctrine, taught that we are depraved, and not, as the Catholic Church says, simply deprived of particular gifts and particular graces, but that we were depraved, we put ourselves into total rebellion against God, and so therefore everything we do is opposed to him. then what happens is we get in a strange situation in which our freedom is opposed to God's will. And therefore, if God wants to, if God's will is absolute, if God is all powerful, then everything must happen according to his will, and therefore we're not free. Or that we are so free that God is kind of sitting on the sidelines going, come on, guys, come on, you can do it. And he's not really omnipotent at all. And he's not all powerful. And so there's this kind of idea that floats out there. I would say this is primarily, we experience this in the attacks on Christian faith because of the fact that there is evil in the world. The argument that says, if there was a good God, why would he allow evil in the world? Well, what that question presupposes is that a good God would not allow anything to go contrary to his will. And so he would force everything to take place in a certain way. He would predetermine everything. And by predetermining everything, not only would he be responsible for all of the good that takes place in the world, he would also be responsible for all the evil that takes place in the world. And then we would say, you know, how could such a good God predetermine all this evil to take place? Well, as Catholics, we don't believe that. We don't believe that God predetermines everything. That God predestines things is to say that beforehand God has an intention. He has a destiny. He has a good that he has desired for us. Right? He has predestined us for heaven. Does that mean that he has predetermined us to get to heaven? No, he uses our free will. He loves us. He wants us to be saved. But he also desires us to do it, to be saved through our cooperation. There's a daily response to grace. You see, as a daily response to grace, not just as people who daily are bowled over by grace, are forced along by grace, are dragged along by grace. At the very heart of our Catholic faith is the principle that God's love and his desire for our good is conditioned, not that his love is conditioned, but that he desires us to cooperate with it. He wants us to be involved. As St. Augustine famously said, he said, God made you without your willing it, but he won't save you without your willing it. He made you without your cooperation. You know, all of us were brought into existence without our deciding, hey, I want to be brought into existence. But in order to be saved, we have to cooperate. God is not simply going to force us along by his grace. He's not predetermined the whole course of human events. And we've talked, I think, about the pre-knowledge, the foreknowledge of God. Again, with the concept of a man standing on a hill and seeing two cars careening toward an intersection and they don't see each other and they're both driving way too fast, he can foresee what's going to take place, but he doesn't predetermine it to take place. And I think that at the heart of the idea that God predetermines all things, which is to say that God's will is absolute and our freedom really is non-existent. We don't have freedom. We're just basically being swept along in the current of God's will. And if we go to hell, well, that's because God wanted us to. And if we go to heaven, well, that's just because God wanted us to. And we don't really have any say about it anyway, so live the life you're living and whatever. That idea is actually, you see, the same idea as the idea that I do whatever I want and God rubber stamps it or vetoes it. You see? There's the same idea that I just live however I want to live and God is either pleased or displeased with that. Maybe I want to live a godly life and I'm striving for that. And I don't feel like I'm accomplishing it because I'm weighed down by various different sins or various different tendencies of selfishness. And I think, you know, to myself, why isn't God helping me? Where is he? What am I doing? I'm saying that the fact that I can't overcome this sin is because God doesn't want me to. If only he wanted me to. If only he desired me to grow in holiness, I could grow in holiness. But God has abandoned me. Oh no, I am totally stuck. I can't get out of my sins. And the good news is that that's not true. That's not our faith. That's not what Jesus Christ our Lord taught us. That's not what he died upon the cross to show us. He died to show us the love of God, that our wills are meant to be in wonderful cooperation with the will of God, not to be at war with him. Sure, our sins make us have a tendency toward our own way as opposed to doing God's way. But God allows us to have that freedom because he wants to use that very freedom to have us desire to do it, his will. He's given us freedom, the very freedom to say, nope, not interested, I'm going to do my own thing. And I hope you come along and rubber stamp all my decisions, and I hope you don't veto anything. And I really feel like I'm trying to live my life against the will of God or kind of in spite of the will of God, and please God, don't interfere. And I think there are a lot of people who live this way. I think maybe we look at ourselves and we say, you know, self, I think you've been living this way. Do we really understand what is the joy and what is the goodness of realizing that God desires us to live in a joyful cooperation with his will, in harmony, that our will might be one with his will, not because he's simply coming along getting on board with what we want, because what we want is sometimes really bad for us. You know, how many times have you desired something you thought, this is going to make me so happy, this is going to make me so fulfilled, and you get it, and it doesn't, and it isn't. Well, God in his merciful love for us knows what is good for us. He made us. It's like the man who made the car. And he made it to have a gas engine and not a diesel engine. And someone says, well, I'm going to put diesel in it. He says, good luck. Let me know when it works. And when you get tired of trying to make it work when it doesn't work, give me a shout and I'll see about getting all that diesel fuel out and we can try again the way that the car is supposed to work. So God knows us because he made us, and he made us to be happy. He made us to be in that happiness that comes from living not just one day, someday in heaven according to his will, but what do we say in the Our Father? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Then get this. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. That is to say, what I'm desiring, what I'm praying for right here from the very mouth of our Lord, this prayer, is asking that I be living, that I be given the grace to live. And not just me, but all of those around me, the whole of the human race might be given the grace to live in perfect harmony with the will of God. Because those who are living in heaven have been perfected by charity so much, their love is so good, is so rich, that they see the brilliant goodness and brilliant intelligence of God in the design of his doing things, and they say, absolutely, I'm on board. Our Lord's desire is that we might live that way here on this earth. That like the Blessed Virgin Mary, when God offers us something, we say, with all my heart. And we don't just say that because, all right, fine. Nor do we say it because he just wants whatever we want. But we say it because we discover how much he loves us in the very request he's making. If we look at the Virgin of Nazareth, we see this moment in which a girl who was probably 14 or 15 years old praying in her room, encounters an angel of God who is the divine messenger, Gabriel, the strength of God. And the angel Gabriel, in asking her, would you be the mother of God, meets this simple question, how? How is this to take place? She's not hasty. She has a particular question she needs to ask in order to know if this, A, if this is from God, and B, if it's something that she can do. She's already made a vow of virginity. We see that in the very response that she makes. I do not know man. We've just been told she's betrothed to Joseph. For someone to say, I do not know man, is to say that even in spite of her betrothal, she expects to live a virginal life in her marriage to Joseph. And the angel simply says to her, God is going to make it happen in such a way that you are not going to have to surrender your virginity. The vow that you've made to God, you get to keep. And as soon as he says that, Mary says, fiat, let it be done. The absolute joy and readiness and conformity with the will of God that she demonstrates, we can live that too.